save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
I am Ron Calgill, and the Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call, 773-763-9278, you'll have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago. It's a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about the natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. You can learn more about it at chicagonature.com. And also the Small Business Advocacy Council. The SBAC is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking and support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information, you can visit them at sbacil.org. That's sbacil.org. All right, there we go.
Hey, you know what?
No.
You said you were mentioning where we can learn more about that book.
Yeah, for my journey into the wilds of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know where else we can learn more about it.
Where can we learn more about it?
Here? Now.
Right now? Right
yes.
now?
Yes. Right now.
Right now?
Rich, right now.
Now.
Now. Yes.
No, so. Go ahead.
Trixie, how many calls did you get complaining about not doing the tip of the week in the last segment?
Zero.
Three.
Zero.
She said three.
And then Mike comes in and says, can you guys not interrupt Robbie during her Clutter Clarity segment?
Who's Mike?
Mike McDonald, author of His Journey into the Wilds of Chicago.
No, My Journey.
No, it's his journey.
It's
not
my
yours.
Journey.
My Journey, yes. Not his journey.
It's a celebration of Chicagoland's startling natural wonders. It's Chicago. What do you mean there's startling natural wonders?
Well, there's prairie and savanna and habitats that are really different than other places around the country.
Asphalt and buildings, steel, concrete.
Well, over 100 years ago, or about 100 years ago, the Cook County Forest Preserves, where you know lots of land was dedicated to that.
Uh-huh.
And there are many preserves around the country, around the area, that are as a result of saving land long ago, and they are in really good condition, or they should be. And so here's the thing. So you have all this beautiful nature out there, and over the years, a lot of it is gone, been taken over by invasive species, from Europe, Asia, Berwyn, those places. And so the idea here is that, so what happens is you find these pockets of beauty that our native prairie, where you can see grasses and flowers as far as you can see. And that in the prairie, what's really cool about it is in May, it starts blooming and the plants are really small and you can still see flowers that keep going on. But then they start fading, but then other ones come in and then those fade and more come in. And it's just constant change of color and texture. And they keep getting taller and taller and taller till in September, you can't even find your way through a prairie because they're over your head and with yellow flowers that go 12 feet tall.
And you need buffalo.
Oh, they have
bison. To eat the grass.
They do have bison at some preserves.
Oh, do they?
You said prairie and savanna.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of savanna, I think of Africa. What's a savanna?
Very good. I love that question because a prairie has pretty much no trees, okay?
Okay.
And a forest has
all trees.
It's all trees. Well,
you can't see the forest for the trees.
I can't see the savanna for the trees. That's how I say it because it's our most oak savanna is our native habitat. But here's the thing. Forests are 80 to 100% tree cover canopy.
Okay.
Cover. So hardly any light reaches the ground. Woodland is 50 to 80%. And we have lots of woodlands around here. They call the they call them forest preserves. There are so few forests in this area, very few, because a fire usually comes through and clears it out. And so it thins the forest, so it becomes a woodland. But when you, but when winds come from the west and the forest fires hit a river or a stream, it stops right there. And anything east of the river could be a forest. But there are very few forests in the forest preserves. Now, an oak savanna, an oak savanna is like 10 to 50% light reaching the ground. And so oak savannas are open. And what you see is gorgeous. This is an oak savanna. Like oak savanna in the book would be like Soane Prairie Grove in Northbrook, or
That's like I'd probably drive by there 100 times and never know it.
Right, it's on the corner of Dundee and Waukegan Roads.
Oh yeah, I drive by there all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you have like in, this is farther in Kankakee. You got sand savanna, Pembroke savanna, it's called, and it's lots of black oaks there, and there's Wolf Road Prairie in Westchester. There's a black black soil savanna there. And so what's nice is you walk in there and there's all these plants that keep, like, again, is, that go as far as you can see, all these blooming flowers and things, because so much light is able to reach the ground.
So a savanna is?
It's a woodland with very few trees and mostly consisting of oak and some hickory.
Okay.
And, but there's not many trees there.
Okay.
Comparatively.
How long have you been taking these pictures?
I've been photographing for 24 years, and the book consists of 22 years worth of photography.
Wow. That's pretty good. Let's go to Chris in Palatine.
We have a phone call for Mike.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, good morning. I happen to live directly across the street from Deer Grove West, which I assume you mentioned in your book.
I mention it as one of the noteworthy locations.
Well, actually, it's the first forest preserve founded in the country.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was founded in 19. It founded over 100 years ago.
Huh? Wow! And you just don't. You know, you drive past these places and you just don't realize what's back in there.
They've also done major renovation. You know, they're starting to finally get rid of all of that buckthorn, you know, clearing out all the invasive species. They, Deer Grove East, you know, they restored it to a grasslands.
Right.
They made a major project on that about 5 years ago or so. Now, do you mention also, I think it's also on Dundee or Route 68 in this type, west of Northwest Highway, I think it's a Good Husband forest preserve, which is actually an original prairie.
Well, here's the thing. I feature locations that feel like you've gotten away from it all, but that are also high in biodiversity. And a lot of places aren't restored to the point where I think it represents Chicago nature in its more pure form, or its more wonderful form. And so if I go to a preserve and I see lots of buckthorn and there's still nice plants in there, I won't necessarily cover it. So I selected 24 of the finest preserves, and some of them are being restored more and more, like Deer Grove East. I started to study it last spring to possibly add it to a future edition of the book, but a lot of these preserves still need a lot of work.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's really, I think the, Cook County Forest Preserve has really been very negligent over the decades in letting the forests go, you know, for forest preserves become, you know, invaded by all these species.
Well, not just that, though. Actually, down in the south side, by 159th and Central, one of the forest preserves, I grew up in that area, they had signs there. They were proud they planted these forests in 1959, and they have now since cut all that forest out and are trying to restore it. So in other words, it was not knowing any better at a certain time.
Right.
They thought they were doing the right thing, so they are doing it. And it's like everything else in this world, it's budgets.
Yeah.
Unlimited funds, they could fix everything, but who's paying for it?
But right. Get this, the whole reason I did the book was because I knew that so few people knew about these places. And since there are over 350 square miles of natural area around here and very few people know, I figure that you can't love and support something that doesn't exist. So I'm introducing people. I'm playing matchmaker. I'm introducing people to that gorgeous neighbor next door and trying to spark thousands of love affairs, mm-hmm. so that now we do get more volunteers and, so we could restore all these places.
Yeah, cool.
Well, it's a great, you know, all I can say is that this is a fantastic resource that we have, and, people should get out and enjoy it, 365 days a year.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
I have a question about buckthorn.
Mm-hmm.
I live nearby, and we're in the our house is in the forest, or maybe it's a woodland. Mm-hmm. Now I always call it a
prairie because it's a golf course across the street.
Anyway,
golf course is Savannah.
Oh, that's a Savannah.
There are very few savannas around,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Most of them are woodlands.
Anyway, there's a lot of buckthorn,
mm-hmm.
and we have groups like Friends of the Forest Preserve and things like that, mm-hmm. and. Some people say you have to go for training, you have to be certified, blah, 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 you know, to go on these buckthorn
hunts.
Hunts, right. And other neighbors, because, I mean, literally, we're on the forest. Other neighbors are like, I know what it is. I've seen what it is. Why do I need to be certified to go and pull out this invasive buckthorn?
Well, they need to, first of all, you need to be trained in cutting it down because you just can't pull it because it's a shrub. So it's a lot harder to do that.
It comes right back.
Well, yeah, for sure. You do need a certain certification for herbicide training so that you can use the special
Roundup
deadly junk. Yeah, well, and other stuff that so you need certain training and, you know, so you don't kill somebody or someone else or something like that.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, why are they saying people can and can't just go there and pull it out if you see it or dig it out or cut it down?
Well, I do it all the time. When I go to, like, preserves and I see garlic mustard there.
Oh, that's everywhere.
Which poisons the soil, actually.
Yeah.
Actually poisons the soil so other things can't grow. Same thing with buckthorn. But the point is, yeah, you see this stuff. I'm pulling it out all the time. What the heck?
You just pull it out and leave it.
Well, I break it in half and I leave it on a log or I take it out with me.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then there are a lot of people in my neighborhood. I can't think of the word. It's like an onion snape something. Anyway, people go into the woods and then they'll take the edible things.
Oh, you're talking about like wild leek or
yes,
or it's called the ramp.
That's what it is. Ramp. Yes. So some people.
Yeah, poachers. I've caught poachers. I wrote right about one of the poachers in my book.
Talk
poachers.
To me about, why is that bad? Why
in
is
our
it
forest
bad
preserve?
If they go in there and take this?
Yeah, well, we have 10 million
all
people.
Over.
We have 10 million people in Chicago. I don't even know if there's 10 million ramp in Chicago. So the point is, you know,
what
you
is
go
it?
In there. It's what was Chicago was named after, actually. It was the smelly onion. It's a leek. It's called wild leek. And what happens is when I caught a Korean woman at a preserve with five black garbage bags full of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I asked her, and I write the story in my book. I said, so, you know, I said, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. She says, oh, my grandmother's sick. I go, who is your grandmother? Godzilla? I mean, it's just like this, you know, and really, so I called the cops, got her arrested. It happened two or three times. I caught her two or three times, got her
really?
Arrested two or three times, and nothing really happens. They, you know, because what they're doing is going back to their neighborhoods and selling them to restaurants and making all that money. So, yeah. You know, they even stopped picking mushrooms. That used to be legal in Cook County. Now it's not because there's got to preserve these places. Go to the store and buy yourself a mushroom, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know a lot of people that go morel hunting.
Yeah. How'd you get started with this thing? What got you to, one, start taking these pictures and then decide to put this book together?
Well, the idea, I fell in love with Chicago nature, with nature, and then Chicago Wilderness Magazine came around, and then I learned more and more about nature and biodiversity and understanding that. And they said what the kind of pictures they wanted was like purer pictures of Chicago nature and also to tell the story of Chicago nature. And so I developed ideas about photographing the landscape because a lot of the pictures in the magazine at the time were close-ups of bugs on flowers, which are great. But I couldn't – that wasn't the Chicago nature that I experienced. I would go out into the prairie or savanna and get blown away by the beauty and feel like I've gotten away from it all. You couldn't hear traffic noises, things like that. And I said, well, how do I photograph the landscape? So I came up with a technique for photographing the landscape in an extremely immersive way that makes you feel like you're there. And then over time, I was getting closer to 50, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to die with thousands of pictures in my file cabinet. It around my computer. And then I got a phone call from a young woman named Daisy. Let's just call her Daisy because I don't remember her real name. And she said, I love nature and I particularly love butterflies. And I said, wow, I could help this girl out. Like, she's at the butterfly. I know the at the Nature Museum,
mm-hmm.
the butterfly expert. And she said,
we're going to have to.
We'll take a quick break
yeah.
here. We're with Mike McDonald. He's the author of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago. And for more information, they can go
ChicagoNature.com.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Coming up at 9:40, we've got the Mighty House Greenhouse, sponsored by Devon Bank. I've been a Devon Bank customer for over 25 years, and they're great people to work with. They're locally owned, independent, and committed to our community since 1945. And if you give us a call right now, 773-763-9278, you'll have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago, a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. And you can learn more about it at chicagonature.com. All right, let's wrap up with Mike. Again, Mike, your information real quick.
Yeah, what I was saying was when Daisy called me up asking, telling me how much she loved nature and butterflies, mm-hmm. I said to her, well, I know a man at the Nature Museum, and he's a butterfly expert, and you could go to his preserve and help him out. And I think I'm making her day, her week, her year.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, no, 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 Mike. I just collect butterfly refrigerator magnets.
Oh!
And that's why in the preface of my book, I actually have a photograph of my refrigerator with 100 butterfly refrigerator magnets and dozens of silk flowers to nourish them. And it's all about connecting with nature and not the idea of nature. And we have so much of it here.
Yes. It's amazing. And beyond, if you can just, you grab a canoe and you can go down one of the waterways and in the rivers, you're amazed. It's instantly you're out of Chicago.
You feel like you've gotten away from it all.
And you go down, you know, I've done the Des Plaines River several times, and it's...
Except for the smell coming off the water.
Actually, it's not too bad, you know.
No, it depends where. You're absolutely right. Well,
they cleaned up the Skokie Lagoon.
It's which direction it's
ago.
Running.
It's beautiful.
And to go out there is amazing. So I agree. And again, Mike, for information, if somebody wants to get this book, if they don't win it today,
they could go to chicagonature.com. And if you order today, you'll be shipped on Monday and you'll get it by Thursday.
Boom, done.
Awesome.
Ready to go.
Nice.
All right. Hey, Mike, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
I love your show.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
And let's see. Where do you want to go, Trixie? We're going to go straight to, let's go to Mike in Niles. Hey, Mike, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
She usually comes and walks people out.
Hey, so
go ahead.
All right. Love the show. Listen, I have a problem keeping my entire toilet bowl 6 years to the floor.
Uh-huh.
And
his what?
It seems like it comes loose overnight.
The toilet bowl keeps loosening up.
Yeah, I will tighten it really tight, and then it seems like the very next day it's loose. It just rocks. It's like... I don't know what, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the floor. I'm right down the hallway from it right now.
Yeah, well, if your toilet's rocking, don't come knocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
even if it's not rocking.
So I would assume you've taken the toilet off before. What is the flange? Do you have cast iron or plastic?
Cast iron.
Ooh.
So if you've got a cast iron sewer system, a cast iron flange there, those bolts should your toilet should never rock like that.
Yeah.
Well, let me go take a peek. Let me see here.
And then how old's the house?
About 105.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I would say you might want to check the flooring around it, and maybe the flooring is loose, and that's why it keeps, you know, or is soft. So what happens...
Let me go and look real quick. I just want to run in there.
Okay.
I think you were getting.
Oh my God! Big K is in here.
Yeah, I knew, Mike. I got it.
I knew that's where we were going.
I couldn't believe it.
That's why we have a call screener just to avoid stuff like that. Nice job.
I knew it. I knew it.
I knew we were heading there.
Yeah. As soon as he says, "I got to go take a look," I was like, "Oh man, he got."
I was walking Mike out. I missed it.
Yeah, and guess what Mike said?
Hey, I'm Dick K. Mighty House is mighty fine.
Was it a Dick Kay joke?
Yes!
Yes!
A big setup.
In his bathroom.
And he stayed on the phone for 40 minutes to do it.
He did not!
Here they come to save the day. Mighty House is mighty fine.
I'm
Dick Kay.
I missed it. I'm going to have to listen. You can tell me at the break.
He said his toilet was rocking, and it was loose.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps tightening it up. And he goes, well, here, let me walk in the bathroom and check it out and see. And he walks in and goes, oh, Dick Kay's in here. Guy's brilliant.
He gets you every time.
Yeah, I know.
He is brilliant.
But
brilliant.
You know what? Dick Kay loves it. So
here they come to save the day. Mighty House is mighty fine. I'm Dick Kay. I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. And real quick, I just want to say, you know, we've been asking people to like us on Mighty House Home Improvement on Facebook because, you know what, we do silly stuff all week long when you're not listening to us. So Craig Schaefer and Christina Jenkins, thank you very much. Everybody else, join us. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
All right. Let's go to Gene in Palatine. Hey, Gene, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
So is your toilet rocking? Don't come knocking. I never heard that tune.
It's because he sold his van.
Yeah, I sold my van.
My question is about water and pipes, and which kind of scares me all the time. We had an episode where we were in Hawaii for one of those lifetime vacations and got a call that our pipe burst in the house, and we had to cut our vacation way short.
Of course. Never going to happen while you're home.
Oh, it was a total disaster. We would have had a two-story swimming pool. It was awful.
Ugh.
But we have a little place in Wisconsin now, and we go between the two, and we thought it would be a good idea to shut our water off when we leave our houses, both of them.
Right.
So we shut the water off, and we came home to a flood in our utility room. The water had come up through the washing machine. And when we got to the washing machine, it was filled up to the top and down across the floor and into the crawl space. So someone told us that if you release the pressure on the pipes, that won't happen. Not sure.
It's okay.
I'm asking advice about that. You know,
you're absolutely correct. You would want to. Here's the double-edged sword with this. What you're talking about is when you turn the water off, you drain the pipes so that you don't have built-up water pressure in the washing machine being the lowest level. You just had the gravity. So once that froze or split, then all the water came down through that hole. But the other problem is if you drain the system, which gives you that safety, it actually speeds up the corrosion of the inside of the pipe.
So if you have copper or PVC
if it's plastic, you're fine. But any kind of metal pipe, whether it's galvanized or copper, you don't want to have air in that system, by draining the system. The best thing to truly do is a house watch person. Just have somebody come over. You know, and if you're gone during the winter, have them turn the taps onto a drip, or, you know, even during the summer, just have somebody check them once a week. But it's actually worse to turn the water off and drain the system.
Yeah, and if you have galvanized pipe, it'll rust them shut. And then when you come and turn it back on, all you're doing is cleaning faucets, getting all the rust out of them. So it really gets bad. I usually tell people just turn it off, and at least that way, leave the water in the lines. And at least in that way, if you do have a problem, you're not flooding the place. Just the water that's in there will come out, and you'll find out when you come home and you turn it on and you get a sprinkler system, you know?
You know, the Hawaii situation was the last of the galvanized pipe. That's what burst.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, but what about your outside, the things out that go to the yard?
The hose bib?
The hose bib?
Yeah.
Well, the hose bib, depending on the age of the house, the old ones were basically boiler valves, and you typically had a shutoff inside the house in the ceiling, you know, a couple of feet in. But most of the new ones are what they call frostproof. So the valve is actually 14 to 18, you know, 10 to 14 inches inside the house, actually, is where it actually shuts the water off. So that should not freeze. But disconnect your hose. I see that all the time. People leave the hose connected to the hose bib. And, you know, when that hose freezes, it has no choice but to split the hose bib.
And you don't know about it until you turn it on in the spring to use it, and then you flood your basement out.
And it only floods inside, not outside. So, yeah, you don't notice while you're watering.
Yes.
Okay, well, great advice. I really do appreciate it. Enjoy your show. You guys helped me out a number of times. And actually, my toilet, my last call was about my toilet. You really solved the problem for me there. So
excellent.
Thanks for all you do.
Glad we can help.
Good. Thank you. Bye.
Have a good day.
All right. Let's see. Let's try John in Lake Forest next. Hey, John, you're on Mighty House.
Yes, I have two ceiling lighting fixtures in my kitchen, and I will go ahead, say all four of the bulbs are out, to the two bulbs in each fixture, and I will go ahead and put four identical bulbs in two in each of the fixtures.
Uh-huh.
After about 6 weeks, the two lights on the one fixture burn out. Not the same time, but within a very short period of time, mm-hmm, of each other. Very short period, they burn out. The other ones keep going for 6 months. What's wrong with that fixture?
Is it a fluorescent fixture or is it?
No, regular fixture.
Regular bulb.
Light bulb.
What's above that? Is there a second floor, a bedroom, or a hallway above there?
No, a roof.
A roof.
A roof. A roof.
If it was fluorescent or something like that, then you know it'd be the drivers or the ballast that could be going bad. If it's a regular incandescent bulb, that'd be very strange for one to be burning out and the other one's not. Are you using incandescent or are you using the squiggly pigtail ones?
No, the normal bulb. Yeah, the old bulb.
Just a regular bulb.
Yes. I would just throw in LEDs and call it done.
Yeah, go ahead and try some LED ones, and you can pick them up at the big box store. They're not that expensive. You get a box of four.
Not anymore. $10.
Yeah, they don't do any. They burn those out too.
Really? That is very.
If
strange.
You're burning out LED bulbs and you're getting voltage surges, so that would tell me that you got a loose neutral and you're sending 220 to that fixture occasionally.
Yeah, maybe there's got to be something a little deeper going on with the wiring there. Yeah,
if you're burning those up, then it could be if you've got two fixtures and one is fine, it might be the pigtail from that fixture going over to the second that's loose. So I would get an electrician over to look at that, and you'll know right away because you'll pull the wire nuts and see arcing.
Yeah.
What?
If there is a problem, you'll find out pretty fast when you take the fixture down and pull the wires out. You'll see that, you know, one of the wires is probably hot or it's arcing or there's a problem with it. And both those lights are on the same switch, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very odd. I would definitely get that checked out for sure.
Do you think it's a fire hazard?
It could be. If it's all in conduit and stuff, you're going to pop a breaker first anyway, you know. But within the next couple of weeks, I'd go ahead and get somebody out to check it out for sure.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good. Thanks, John. You got it? You all right there, Robbie?
Yeah. Why are you pointing at me?
Well, you're studying something.
No, I can't be close to the mic.
We didn't ask the question if the bulbs in the one fixture get brighter or do they stay consistent? Because if they get brighter, then you'll know he's getting 220. He's
getting a different voltage there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's definitely something wonky
that's
going
my
on
guess.
There. Yeah. I'd agree. I think that's good. Let's try Kurt in Cali. Where's Cali?
California.
Oh, there you go. She was just abbreviating then.
Hey, yeah, Kurt, we haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks. What's going on?
Oh, well, I don't know if I guys told you, but I just got my realtor's license about a month or so ago.
Congratulations.
And yeah, thank you much. So I just
now you can move to Florida because that's required too.
Oh, okay. Well, that may be an opportunity. Well, actually, you know what? If something don't happen right this Monday with these electors, I might be moving to Costa Rica or Canada.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah. But I think we're headed for dark days if this election, if this presidency thing don't work out.
I don't know. There's more to it than just one man. So, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's why he got 17 people that all despise the offices that they're getting ready to take.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you got Perry who said in his candidacy run in 2000.
All right, Kurt,
I don't want to cut you off, but we don't do political on this show.
We're gonna stay off of that topic if you don't mind.
You pulled me into that.
They
all
did.
Right, well,
they really did.
All right. Well, look. Here's what I call. About last hour, you had some lady who was telling me about some wretched sound she gets when she turns something off.
Her furnace
or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got a little chuckle out of that because it reminded me of all the times I've called auto mechanics and said, hey, I got this sound in my car. When I turn left, it sounds like this.
Uh-huh.
And when I turned right, it goes like, and I said, "Do you have? Can you tell me what that is?"
Uh-huh.
And these guys are just like silent, like, "Man, are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
But you guys are wonderful at trying to guess at what wicked sounds people's houses are making, and you can give them good diagnosis. So I'm just wondering, could you guys do something like some of these radio stations do, this pop hit stations that have like caller in lines,
uh-huh.
call in lines. People can leave messages, but instead of a regular message, people can leave like a recording
yes!
of their weird house sound.
That is an excellent idea.
And you guys can try to guess, you know, what's this sound or actually, there's some guys out here in California that they have this thing where they go, what did Jesse Jackson say? And they would just play like these recordings of Jesse Jackson and be like, what did he say? And nobody can figure it out.
Yeah, there you go.
We can give that a try.
Yeah, we should be able to do that. Or you know what? If you can, you can tape it on your phone. You know, you can record it on your phone and then just email it to us. And then we can play it that way, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would work. But, you know, I would like a lot of your listeners,
uh-huh.
to just fill you guys up with enough material that we just have a nice little shindig with that. Or
uh-huh.
like a YouTube video.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
A link to a YouTube video. Hey, you guys, Mighty House,
uh-huh.
my water heater sounds like this. And they can just record their water heater just bubbling
right.
and making all kind of crazy noises.
Yep. I'm digging it, Kurt. I'm digging it. Sounds
I'm
like a plan.
You guys take care. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Just real quick, we have on Facebook somebody sent a little note saying that they want to order the nature book featured on the show today but missed the information.
Oh, that's easy. ChicagoNature.com.
Right. Mike McDonald Photography, ChicagoNature.com.
Order up the book. It'd be a great little stocking stuffer, mm-hmm. too, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Don't you think so?
Big stocking.
It'd be big stocking, yeah.
And thanks for liking us, Tony.
All right. We're going to be back. Oh, hey, you know what? It's time for gardening now. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 773-763-9278, you too can have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago, a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about the natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. You can learn more about it at, you ready? You can learn more about it at ChicagoNature.com. That's ChicagoNature.com.
And as Rich has mentioned several times, the next 2 weeks are holiday weekends. Yep. So, mm-hmm. you know what? Mighty House is going to be on a little...
Excuse me. Sorry.
Wow. Mighty House is going to be on a little bit of a break. So we're asking people, you know what? Like us on Mighty House Home Improvement Show on Facebook because we will continue to answer your questions there. You can post us pictures there.
And to Twitter.
Like us. You can review us. I just found that out during the break.
As Susan Gaston and Jam and Jesse Buckner just did. They liked us and reviewed us. So thank you very much. And Susan, I just creeped on you a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And you're an online teacher at University of Phoenix. It's funny because I see those commercials all the time. University of Phoenix. Phoenix, but uh-huh. it's a real place, I guess, because Susan Gaston is there. So, and thank you, Jam and Jesse.
I creeped on you.
I did. I creeped on her.
Well, she creeps on everybody that joins. Maybe that's why we don't have very many followers, because you creep on everybody.
I'll stop creeping. Anyway, so join us, because over the next 2 weeks, if you have any problems, you can go on Facebook, and then we'll help you out.
Oh, we've got a wimp on the phone. Should we go to the phones?
A wimp?
Okay.
Oh,
a wimp.
Yes. Oh, I understand.
Yes, I am a wimp.
Yes.
I admit it.
Oh. It's cold out.
Yes.
It's cold.
I don't want to come out.
There's snow on the roads. I can't drive on it.
And I've lived in Chicago my whole life, Chicago land my whole life. Now, I admit it, I was lured into this idea. It was going to be really bad. And so now I'm just sitting at home.
And guess what? It's not.
I know. It's not. Yep.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The Mighty House Greenhouse is sponsored by Devon Bank, your home improvement financing experts. They're locally owned, independent, and committed to our community since 1945. They're great people, and I personally recommend that you visit them online at devonbank.com. That's devonbank.com. Okay, Laura, I'm going to guess there's just nothing we can do with sub-zero temperatures. Just hang on, hunker down, and be. That's the tip of the week for you, right?
That is the tip of the week. And the other tip of the week, by the way, for all you listeners out there, is that My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago is a wonderful book.
Yes?
Yes. I love looking at it, which got me thinking about ideas to give gardeners as gifts.
Oh, that perfect timing.
Always a good idea the week before Christmas.
Yep.
You know what? In the summer, I think all the time, if anybody asks me what I want for Christmas, I want plants, I want gloves. But you know what? You have a whole list, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Gardening books are up there, or nature-related books, which got me thinking about the whole topic. And Robbie, like you, I always wish that I had... although my birthday is in the summer, which helps. But I always think, oh, I wish I could tell somebody I want this plant or that plant.
That's what I want to do.
Yes. That's why gift certificates to garden centers like Red's.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. In Northbrook is a great thing because those things do not expire and people can use them in the spring or go there now when sometimes things are on sale. You know, because it's not really truly gardening season. So, again, a gift certificate is a fabulous thing because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get garden gifts that people think a gardener like me would like, and I really don't.
You already have six of them.
Yes. So, so a gift certificate is great. The other thing on the top of my list is a really good set of pruners.
Pruners.
And, you know, most people, gardeners, have pruners. A lot of them don't have the top-of-the-line pruner. Like you guys, I'm sure, know what tools are top-of-the-line for
Mine is a Bosch Sawzall.
Yeah, well,
with a wood-cutting blade in it.
Felco pruner.
That's not a pruner.
Yeah, it is. What's a pruner do? A pruner cuts, right? Yes.
And I'll be honest,
I'm not talking about
the boss takes care of ours, and she has two, three pairs of hand pruners, whatever, and she's got some nice ones. So
yes, well, that's what I'm talking about. Nice ones are just the best gift. They're expensive, which means that a lot of people don't buy them for themselves.
Oh.
But they're really nice, and the top of the line, like all the professionals in the industry use, is a Felco pruner. And along those lines, another... really nice gift that a lot of gardeners don't buy themselves but would love, and you can use more than one, is a pruning saw.
Yeah, a sawzall.
No, a pruning saw. Which is,
yeah,
is
sawzall. Like
I don't know what that is, but I'm talking about a nice little saw that folds up. You can put it in your pocket and not maim yourself, and it has a... safety check on there, and it's just a really nice item. And they're usually about $25 to $30. It's a nice price point for people.
Mm-hmm.
But at this time of the year, when you're starting to look outside and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to be doing in the spring? You're thinking one of the things is pruning. So getting your pruning tools brand new is just a fabulous thing for a gardener right now. So, and along those lines, good gardening gloves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we use different gloves for different things, but one glove that people usually don't buy themselves, which every gardener would love, is a really good pair of leather gloves that are longer so you can prune your roses and other sharp
Oh, so they come up to your elbow.
And you get those at the welding stores.
Yeah, welding gloves.
Yes. You probably could. Well, you want something that's got a good dexterity. I don't know if welding gloves do. And the tips of your
fingers. Do, and they go up to your elbow, and they're leather. Yeah. They're great.
And one thing I learned is not to buy ones that have color. I bought a pair of green, and they got wet on my hand while I was wearing them, and then my hands and arm were green.
Yes.
So I would get a natural color.
But then you could tell people you had a green thumb.
Whoa. All right, if I could add, I agree with a good pair, but in my case, because of all the poison ivy, sometimes I just want to toss them and not worry about, you know, putting them in the wash and then spreading the poison ivy. You can go to dollar type stores and get bunches of them for a dollar. And so that would be on my list too.
It's like a disposable
set.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. They're not disposable. I don't want people to be yelling at me for, you know, throwing things away. But I'm terrified of the poison ivy because I get it so bad every year that when I know I've touched it, I just peel the glove off me and I throw it away. And again, I could use 20 pairs. So that would be my gift rather than $20 store pairs.
Yeah, that is a great idea. And also, too, if you're pruning something that has a disease and you don't want to spread it from plant to plant, you can also use gloves like that and throw them away.
Yep.
You know, like powdery mildew and stuff. So that is a great idea. But gardening gloves, you can never have enough of them because you lose them and all that other stuff. At least I do. Or they wear out.
Only if you don't put your stuff away like you're supposed to.
Give me a million pairs of gardening gloves. Thank you. Yes. Any of my family members who are listening.
You want another nice gift. Let's say you're like, oh, these are all kind of ugh. I want to give something.
Well, something special.
A fashion statement.
Ooh.
I get a nice gardening hat.
Like a floppy hat?
Or any kind of hat, as long as it has an SPF rating of like 50 or above.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the gardening hats do. You know, let's say that you have a friend that you want to give them something that's a little snazzy. You can get really creative with gardening hats, and they're fun. I love when people give me a gardening hat.
Excellent.
So, and you know, you guys, Ron and Rich, would look fabulous in a decorative hat.
Of course. Yes. Of course.
Bobby, definitely. And so I think a gardening hat is a great thing, too, and it's kind of personalized.
Yeah.
A little bit more than some of these other things.
How about some nasty, like, mucking boots? Rubber boots.
You know what? Those are really nice, but it's hard to know what size to buy people.
Ah, okay.
Good point.
And that's where the garden gift certificate comes into play, because people, I mean, I love my muck boots, but I had to buy them, like, a whole size bigger, you know, because I'm also wearing them where I've got a lot of socks on in the early spring. And so it was really hard to find the right size. But I think that's another great idea. It's just these little things that it's hard to buy for. But again, a gift certificate gives the person some flexibility. And one thing that I bought a couple of years ago for myself that's fabulous, because I'm getting older and I can't bend down as easily, I bought this fabulous gardening seat. It looks like a mushroom.
Oh, okay.
So it's got a rocker bottom and like just a seat, and you sit down on it. And when you're gardening, you just kind of rock from side to side, and it makes a small impression on your plants. So you're not like smashing everything while you're using your garden seat, but you can it. It's really a wonderful little seat thing. I used to sit on a basketball and garden, but then I realized one day I couldn't get up. I fell on the floor, on the ground. So I figured I'd better get something
nice.
Else.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you have one of those little buttons around your neck to be able to call your husband?
Well, you know, maybe I should put that on my Christmas list.
There you go.
Help me, I've fallen down in the garden. Or if
I
he hasn't seen me in a few hours. It's like, look out in the garden where the birds are.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah. But those, these, you know, for people who are aging as they garden, some of these things, you know, people think, well, I'm not going to go garden anymore. But really, there are a lot of things out there, including tools that are telescopic.
All right, hang on, Laura. Let's go to Steve real quick. Hey, Steve, you're on Mighty House.
You know, they make flowery welding caps, too. So, with the welding gloves.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
That's
excellent.
True.
Excellent. Well, I hung up on Laura because I went too fast.
Uh-oh.
So let's see if she calls back. So we can get our welding gloves and our welding mask with flowers on it, and we'll be rocking.
No. The hats. The pipe fitters. Fitters always wear caps.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And the fitters always have the craziest caps.
You can go online, you can find all kinds of them.
Excellent.
And they're with flowers, even.
Excellent. That's very cool. All right. Well, thanks, Steve.
Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thanks.
Bye. Is Laura calling back?
She should. Yeah. I sent her that email, that picture of the poinsettia from my in-law's house.
Yes. Did you send that to Laura, too?
Yeah, I just did.
Oh, okay. Are you back, Laura?
Yeah, I'm back.
Sorry, I hung up on you. I didn't lock you in before going to Steve. Steve said they make welding caps with flowers on them, too, that you can do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right, give us your spiel. The music's playing.
Well, stop by and see us at Red's Garden Center, 3460 Dundee Road in Northbrook. Get your gift certificate for your gardening friends, and happy holidays to everybody.
All right, thanks,
you
Laura.
Too.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye. We'll be back with Devon Banks right after this.
Mighty House will return.
Okay.